Now we're turning again to Proverbs chapter 26 this evening. Proverbs chapter 26, and we are going to consider verse 3. But we'll read verses 1 to 11 again for the sake of context. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 to 11, but only studying verse 3. As snow in summer, and as rain in harvest, so honour is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honour to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Very painful. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his own vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Amen, and God will bless the reading of that portion of his word. A whip for the horse and a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. That is our text tonight. Proverbs 26 is one of the main persons examined in the early verses is the person of the fool. In verse 1 it talks about honouring the fool. We looked at it last week. What is it to give honour to a fool? To give a fool a place of honour. It is out of place. It is foolish. It is dangerous. It is as foolish and out of place and dangerous as snow in summer, as rain in harvest. It's a disaster. So it is to give honour to a fool. Verse 2 tells us about the fool's cursing mouth. When a fool tries to bring woe upon you or a curse upon you, don't worry too much about it. If a fool curses you, because it's like a swallow that doesn't come in the land very often. And by the way, I thought I would look into that word swallow a little bit more, the Hebrew word, and just for your knowledge, the Hebrew dictionary, another I looked up more detailed ones. The word swallow is the Hebrew word for a family of birds. And apparently this word means a bird called the swift, which is a type of swallow. The swallow family has forked tails, as you know. When you see the swifts, they have a long forked tail. A swift is a bigger bird, and it has a less forked tail, but it is still of the swallow family. Now that makes a lot more sense to me, because quite often you would see the swallow landing on telegraph wires and such. But a swift, which is what the word means, hardly ever lands. The curse causeless is like a swallow. It's like a swift that hardly ever lands. Indeed, since I have been small and living in the country, we lived in the country on the side of the White Mountain overlooking the Lagan Valley, and I could see the Newcastle from the window in our living room. And I used to sit from when I was 6 years of age looking out the window with binoculars And there's all, I was always interested in birds, seagulls, crows, pigeons, hawks, everything you can think of. And from when I was six, I've been watching birds as they fly. And I can tell you, you test me sometime if you want. If you see a bird away in the distance, might look like a speck, you ask me what it is, and I can tell you what it is by the way it flies and the shape of its wing and how many wing beats and the way it flies. And in all my years, and now coming 46 in July, I have never, ever once seen a swift at rest anywhere. It hasn't. I've never seen a swift landed on a telegraph wire or a tree or a chimney pot or any. I've never seen one except it's flying. I've never seen one landed. And a swift even sleeps flying. A swift virtually never lands. So a fool's cursing mouth doesn't come home to roost like a swift doesn't come home to roost. Anyway, we're in verse 3. Verse 3 says, a whip for the horse and a bridle for the ass and a rod for the fool's back. This verse is about controlling the fool, honouring the fool, the fool's cursing mouth, and now controlling the fool. There are 3 points we're going to look at, and they are these. Number 1, an exposition of the words. Let's look at the words of the verse. Number 2, the dodgy powder puff interpretation. And number 3, the means of controlling a fool. This verse is very important, especially in our day. Let's look at the first point. The exposition of the words of verse 3. A whip, it says. A whip for the horse. The Hebrew word means a whip or a scourge. Now notice the word for is repeated and repeated 3 times. A whip for the horse. The word for means it's made for. It's just perfect for it. A whip for a horse. And the word horse means a horse. A bridle, a bit or a bridle for an ass. A he-ass, apparently it means like a coat, a he-ass. I'm not sure about that, but why would it only be he-asses that would need a... Maybe the female ones are more placid or something. A whip for a horse, a bridle for an ass, and a rod. A rod, a staff, a branch, a club, or a truncheon for the back of a fool, or for a fool's back. For the fools, the word fool means fool, the wicked, a stupid fellow, a dullard, or an arrogant person. And for a fool's back. And the word back means back, which is a part of his body. And when you put all that together, it really says this. You use a whip to control a horse, and you use a bridle to control an ass, and you use a rod or a truncheon to control a fool. As a whip and a bridle are implements specifically made for a horse and a colt, so a rod is specifically made for a fool's back. Now we note that all of the things that are mentioned in this verse are all mentioned for the purpose of control. To control the animal, you need these instruments. And how do you control an animal? You could say, to control a dog. How do you control a dog? Well, not so long ago, you need a choke chain. We don't have them anymore, and that's why you see people going down the road as if they're Ben-Hur in the Chariot. Their arms are pulled out of them. They don't believe in this type of thing anymore, you see. They don't believe in control and implements to control an animal. How do you control a horse? How do you control a donkey or an ass? How do you control an animal? You control an animal with a tool, an implement that is specifically made for controlling it. That's how you do it. A bridle or a whip. So how do you control a fool? You need a rod or a truncheon, says God's word. Note, this is not just here in the Bible. This is everywhere in the Bible. I'm not going to give you all the references, but it says in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 32. We'll be singing Psalm 32 at the end. It says in verses 8 and 9 of Psalm 32. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The same thing. An animal that has no understanding needs to be controlled by what? By pain. A bit causes a horse pain. That's why it turns its head. It has to be specifically made for the width of the horse's mouth. You get different widths. Big horses, small horses. The bit is made for them. There are harsher ones and more gentle ones. And the more the horse is trained, the less pain it feels. In the slightest response, it doesn't feel any pain once it's trained. And the same with the whip and so on. Creatures of no understanding must be trained by punishment or pain. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13 says a similar thing to the verses we are looking at, or the verse we're looking at. Here's God's wisdom again in Proverbs 10 and 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. A person that's void of understanding, same as an animal, that won't listen to reason, a rod is for his back. One of the commentators says, Brady you call him, a birch stick is what people need. A good birch stick. Very stinging. Pain. Same thing. Proverbs 19. Turn over to Proverbs 19. Same thing. This is repeated elsewhere in the Bible. Not just Proverbs and Psalms. But Proverbs 19:29. Listen to this. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Prepared means made ready and administered by men who are God's instruments. That's what one commentator, Bridges, says. Stripes are prepared for a fool's back. That's what he's meant to get. And so Proverbs 26, the passage we are studying in verse 3. A whip for the horse and a bridle for the ass. And a rod for the fool's back. What is verse 3 teaching? One commentator says verse 3 prescribes the appropriate treatment for a fool. And it is the appropriate treatment for a fool to beat him with a rod. That's what he needs. It's made for him. It's designed for a fool. Now, not you probably sitting here, but someone in sermon audio definitely is going to say, Pastor, that just doesn't sound very Christian. Well, where do you get your Christianity from? The Bible or the TV? That doesn't sound very Christian, Pastor. You see, my passive powder puff type of churchianity doesn't feel very comfortable with that. Oh, very good. Very good. You see, Because the Bible is not about your passive softness. Sure, it's not. The Bible is about the truth. And true Christianity is based upon the Bible. That brings us to the second point very smoothly, I hope, which is the dodgy powder puff interpretation. A rod for the back of a fool. Well, it can't mean that. It can't mean that. That's the bottom line of most moderns. It just can't mean that. I won't even consider it. Why not? Because, well, Pastor, do you not know? We don't believe in physical punishment anymore in the modern world. Why not? Because you're wimpy moderns who don't think, that's why. After all, says the modern, this type of idea, corporal punishment, has been almost totally outlawed in the United Kingdom. That's right, isn't it? We don't punish criminals anymore. We reward them. We give them homes. We give them monthly allowance. We put them in government. That's right. We don't believe in physical punishment anymore in the United Kingdom. That's precisely what the media brainwashed modern would say. But of course, when the Bible cuts across modern opinions and modern values, what does the Church of the United Kingdom do? The Church of the United Kingdom compromises the Word of God and reinterprets the Word of God to suit modern opinions. They've done it with feminism. They've done it with sodomy. And now the Church is doing it with marriage. Just reinterpret to suit the modern opinion. When the Bible cuts across the modern, boy, you need to play with the Bible and say it doesn't really mean that. That's the modern way. And hence, the modern glut of commentaries that basically try and explain this and other verses like it away, they basically try and explain all this embarrassing teaching that's contained in the Bible about corporal punishment. They want to explain it away. Listen to one modern commentator. He's actually quite a good commentator on most areas. But listen to what he says. Just a very short quote on this verse. Quote, "The rod does not have to be literal." End of quote. Just a little small sentence slipped in there. The rod doesn't have to be literal, you know. Ah, that's it. That's the easy way out. That's the modern way out. Ah, a non-literal rod. A non-material rod. A non-physical rod equals no punishment, doesn't it? Why do moderns come up with things like this? They do so because they're powder puffs. This is an issue of biblical interpretation. Okay? And to say that sentence may seem pretty bland when you just read it quickly. Well, the rod doesn't have to be literal. But it's very, very bad biblical interpretation to say that. You know why? Because of hermeneutics. How do we interpret the Bible in its context? Now, I'm going to give you a very simple overview of why this is so, so wrong. We all know that there are some parts in the Bible that are spoken in symbolic language. We know that. There are symbolic passages. There are parts in the Bible that are figurative language. Pictures that equal something else. We know that from Daniel, the book of Revelation. There are symbolic things in the Bible. Different types of literature. And those passages that are figurative and symbolic, well, they must be interpreted according to the type of literature they are. We all know that. If it's symbolic, it will be interpreted in a symbolic way. If it's a figurative language, it has to be interpreted in that way. If it's a prophetic book, well, you must interpret it and take those things into consideration. If it's typological, you must interpret it in that way. But the worst type of hermeneutic is to interpret the literal bits of the Bible in a symbolic way. And to interpret the symbolic and figurative bits of the Bible in an actual literal way is horrendous hermeneutics, and it leads you into all sorts of terrible problems. Because Daniel's beasts, you ever read the book of Daniel? Of course you have. The beasts in the book of Daniel are pretty scary, if you interpret them literally, aren't they? In fact, if you want to interpret that literally, it firmly puts the book of Daniel into folklore in the area of monsters. That's what it does if you interpret that wrong, taking the symbolic as literal. And then in the other way, as many moderns do, Genesis chapters 1 to 3, the whole creation and the days and the fall of man into sin. Oh, you must take that symbolically. It didn't really happen. It's not history. And what does it do? It ends up making it meaningless. When you take literal historical chapters and you make them as if they're just figurative and symbolic. Now, here's the question, and the key question that any of you can answer, and I can answer too. Where are we? Proverbs. What kind of book is Proverbs? Is Proverbs a book of prophecy?
No.
Is Proverbs a book of symbols?
No.
Is Proverbs using figurative language?
No.
Nobody would say that. Not one commentator says that in the introduction to Proverbs. It's nothing to do with that. No, no, no. Proverbs is very practical, literal wisdom worked out in life. It is literal, practical wisdom for real living. So therefore, it must be interpreted literally, physically, practically, for real life. The rod for the fool's back is a literal rod, as much as the whip for a horse is a literal whip, and the bridle for the colt is a literal bridle. Literal, physical whips and bridles. All the best, by the way, at controlling a horse with a symbolic bridle. I'd like to see that happening, wouldn't you? Why would they interpret the bridle symbolically then as well? How would you control a horse with a non-literal whip or a non-literal bridle? You'd have no control whatsoever. In fact, if you're going to say that Proverbs doesn't have to be taken literally, you don't have to take the horse literally either then. Sure you don't. That's not... The horse is symbolic of a horse that the beast rides. How about that? It's every bit as valid as that commentator's opinion. And where do you draw the line with such idiocy as taking literal, practical things as not literal? You can draw the line wherever you want, and the Bible means nothing. Listen, Proverbs is wisdom. It is not prophetic. It is not symbolic. It is not figurative. It is literal, practical wisdom. And the rod is a literal, physical implement. for administering punishment and pain to teach a fool a lesson. A literal whip and a literal bridle for a literal horse or donkey and a literal rod for a literal fool. Don't make the Bible. Don't ever read a commentator like that and say, oh, Nick has, he's got a good point. He has no point at all. The man's an idiot in saying that. See, if he put that forward in a hermeneutics class, he gets 0 points. Zero. Don't make the Bible talk nonsense by moronic interpretation. The Bible already has enough people attacking it without stupid Christians and their non-literal symbolic tripe. Third point. The means of controlling a fool. The means of controlling a fool. How do you control a fool? You control a fool by physical, literal, corporal punishment. That's what the verse teaches. You control a fool, in other words, by a certain degree of violence. Because violence, punishment, corporal punishment is the only thing that a fool understands. Pain, hurt, punishment. That's what the Bible teaches. Not points on a license. Not prison. Not re-education. Not reintegration. No. A rod. A truncheon applied to his back. Physically and repeatedly. Let me give you some quotes. Some of the older commentators aren't as stupid as the modern ones. Listen to this. Charles Bridges says concerning this verse, every creature, referring of course to the horse and so on, every creature subdued for the service of man needs his appropriate discipline. The fool that neither hears the voice of reason nor sees the directing eye. He will be ruled neither by reason nor persuasion. Therefore, a rod is for the fool's back. The person that won't be reasoned with and won't do it, he's a stubborn old mule, the rod's for his back. Another commentator, listen to this one. Corporal punishment, this is a more modern one, corporal punishment has been all but totally outlawed in the United Kingdom. Yet, it is the case that some fools respond to nothing else. There are teenagers and young men who would respond better to the birch rod. End of quote. These men are right. They're truly interpreting the Bible. Matthew Henry the Puritan says about this verse, he's talking about man is not to be governed but by force and fear. Sinful man. Force and fear. A horse unbroken needs a whip for correction. And an ass needs a bridle for direction and to check him when he would turn out of the way. So a vicious man who will not be under the guidance and restraint of religion and reason ought to be whipped and bridled, rebuked severely and made to smart or sting for what he has done amiss, and to be restrained from offending any more. End of quote. The Bible teaches corporal punishment in this world and in the next. Salvation, the gospel, is all about corporal punishment. corporal punishment. That's why moderns don't understand the gospel, like Steve Chalk. It's all about corporal punishment. Either on Christ in your place for your sin, or corporal punishment on you for your sin. It's the heart of the gospel. What are you to do with bad behavior? It's to be punished physically. That's what the Bible teaches. To control a fool, you need corporal punishment. You need a degree of violence. Now, let me just say what I'm not saying. I am not saying that we love violence, that we love punishment and violence and all that type of thing. It says in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 5, God trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. See, there is a need. There is a need for corporal punishment and that degree of violence to control mankind in sin for the maintenance of freedom and justice. But to love violence for the sake of violence is to be against God. Let me conclude. I've given you 3 points all in verse 3. Number one, the exposition of the words. They mean what they say. Number two, the dodgy powder puff interpretation, saying it's symbolic. It doesn't have to be literal. It is literal. Everything in the verse is literal. And thirdly, the means of controlling a fool is corporal punishment. And that is the means of controlling the fool. Now, I know that is contrary to the natural man's mind. There's no natural man likes to even think of those things. And that's why as sin gets greater and greater in our nation, the idea of punishment goes further and further away. The natural man in sin doesn't like corporal punishment. The natural man has always been against punishment and that degree of violence to suppress him. Listen to a quote. Listen to a few quotes. Here's some natural men and what they say about punishment and violence. They're all wrong, of course. Violence is the last reference source of the incompetent, the last hiding place for the incompetent. Another, you've heard of Gandhi. Here's what Gandhi says. An eye for an eye will only make the whole world blind. Oh, is that right? I thought God's law says an eye for an eye. An eye for an eye will not make the whole world blind. He's speaking against the law of God. An eye for an eye. Some people will lose an eye and the rest will fear and be more careful. That's what would happen. Another man says violence is a disease and corrupts all who use it regardless of cause. There's no reason at all for it, he says. What nonsense. What nonsense. Corrupts everyone who uses it regardless of cause. Mother Teresa said, we do not need guns and bombs to bring peace. We need love and compassion. Ah, great. Go and have love and compassion towards Hitler and Stalin and Nero. Did it bring peace? The only thing that would bring peace is to bring them down. Violence. These are facts. And they're biblical facts. There are a few sensible people. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. John Adams, famous American, one of the founders of America, said this. He was speaking about the War of Independence. in that time. Liberty must at all hazards be supported. We have a right to it derived from our Maker. Our fathers have earned it and bought it for us at the expense of their ease, their estates, their pleasure, and their blood. Without corporal punishment, without violence, there's no freedom, there's slavery. People, here's another quote, people sleep peacefully in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf. Isn't that right? The police and the army. See, pacifism. The Bible doesn't teach pacifism. It teaches punishment for evildoers, and if something is wrong, the nation should use violence to suppress it. Evil. Kings and Romans 13, or is it 14? The kings and those that rule over us have the sword for the sake of punishing evil. It means capital punishment. The sword's an implement of death. Oh, but these things, of course, the idea of any kind of rod or violence is abhorrent to the modern powder puff. Listen to this. This is the last quote. And it's a great one, I think. Anyone who clings to the historically untrue and thoroughly immoral doctrine that violence never solves anything needs to bring together Napoleon Bonaparte and Lord Nelson, Hitler, and he names a few other violent people from history, to debate on it. He goes on and he says, violence has settled more issues in history than any other factor. And the contrary opinion that violence solves nothing is wishful thinking at its worst. And anyone who forgets that basic truth, like the dodo creature and all the creatures that are extinct, anyone who forgets that has always paid for it with the loss of their lives. Or their freedoms and their lives. There is to be corporal punishment. There is violence in this world, and it is to be administered. Without corporal punishment, brethren, fools reign. Fools reign over us. Fools reign without punishment. And that's exactly what we have in our nation. Listen to this. This is a book I got. It's called The Rotten State of Britain. Listen to how these politicians were punished for their, well, for what they did. Tony Blair's government. Tony Blair's old boss, Lord Irvine, within weeks of becoming Lord Chancellor of this nation, just a short time ago, he spent £650,000 of public money decorating his official apartments in Westminster, including £59,000 on wallpaper at £400 a roll. What was his punishment? Well, he didn't get any punishment. He worked for 6 years, and then it says when he retired in 2003, he retired with a taxpayer-funded pension worth £1.9 million, which is rather more than the pension funding the government allows for ordinary citizens before they're hit by punitive rates of taxation. And not bad for just 6 years in the job. £2,100,000 short of £2 million pension. He was rewarded. Listen to this. Here's the punishment for a man who was a very immoral man. Top politicians love their official homes. Only a series of misfortunes winked the Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott. Out of his 21-room grace and favour country house in Dorneywood, there was his affair with his secretary, which was then he was photographed playing croquet on the lawn when he should have been running the country during Tony Blair's absence in Washington. It was all very bad public relations. Prescott was stripped of his department but allowed to keep his title and, remarkably, his £133,000 per year salary. Even though he didn't have the job anymore, he still was paid £133,000 per year when not working in the job, but he had been previously stripped from. He still got the wage anyway. And that's the punishment that our nation administers. He should have been taken out and given the birch rod across his back repeatedly. A rod is for the back of fools, but without the rod, fools reign. A whip for the horse, and a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Amen. Thank you. We're going to